This afternoon, Electoral Commission source tells Joy News it does not plan to lay any new CI before Parliament for the election, contrary to assertions by both the current and former majority leaders.
I think the Electoral Commission have an indication that they would also bring a CI for the purpose of the election.
Now, I'm told that even the instrument, I don't know whether it's been laid or not. If it's not been laid, we're imperiling the conduct of the elections.
We have details of what we are learning on this particular matter. Also, Executive Director of CDD criticizes the EC, accusing it of failing to conduct proper due diligence on the presidential candidates cleared for the upcoming election, insisting some of these candidates have no business on the ballot paper.
One has to wonder why we have the numbers that we keep having on the ballot every election year, when in fact some of the requirements for being a party, clearly you and I know most of these so-called parties on the ballot do not meet it.
And with just 44 days to go, the CDD is disappointed none of the political parties are addressing the economic crises the country is facing.
On the campaign trail, you continue to hear promise upon promise. What you will not hear is discussion of how to break the stranglehold of debt or the habit of IMF recidivism.
Also in this package, pediatrician alarmed at the psychosocial effects of illegal mining, warning of its dire consequences on mothers, children and families in mining areas.
The holistic aspect of these activities, what drives fathers to leave home, leaving their teenage boy alone at home, a robust health welfare system should take care of that child. We don't have anything like that.
And teachers are alarmed over high cancer cases reported among members living in the Ndeming Galamse areas.
Our teachers that are infected with cancer, we realize that Ashanti, Central Region, Eastern Region, and now Greater Accra, these, when we don't take action now, the classrooms will be empty.
Well, the Joy Sports Invitational starts on Saturday. The draw for the football competition is out, with the Joy Sports and the Multimedia Group set to face Magdan Group of companies in the football competition. We'll bring you the details of the rest of the pairings.
What a showdown it will be. And all eyes on the quarterfinal competition between Ifan Supreme School, Swedro SHS and Prempeh College. It does appear that the five-time champions Prempeh College are on the verge of crashing out of this year's competition. We have details of that and more here on the Midday News. I am Emefa Apau. This is your home of independent, fearless and credible journalism. We'll start off from the election headquarters.
The election headquarters is brought to you by Petrosol Platinum Energy, Energizing Dreams, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, CIMA, and the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, AICPA, together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental, Wellness and Beauty, Shopbox Technologies, a convenient service, Youth Bridge Foundation, Bridging the Gap for Positive Youth Development, and Syntex Tanks. Aye strong, aye tough.
And this afternoon, Joy News sources at the Electoral Commission has uncovered that the EC does not plan to put any new constitutional instrument before Parliament ahead of the 2024 general elections. Former Majority Leader Osechi Mensabonsu has told Joy News that the 2024 elections could be threatened if Parliament is not immediately recalled to allow a yet-to-be-laid CI to mature. In a yet-to-be-aired interview on PM Express, Mr. Chi Mensabonsu says the elections are at risk if Parliament remains adjourned due to the mandatory 21 sitting days needed for the CI to mature.
And as I'm saying, the practice is that it doesn't go beyond the 7th. Now, I'm told that even the instrument, I don't know whether it's been laid or not. If it's not been laid, we're imperiling the conduct of the elections. If it's been laid, and that by practice Parliament may not go beyond 7th November, what are we doing?
So whether it's been laid or not, we are possibly approaching a crisis situation on this.
Yes. And that is why it's important for Parliament to sit, even if not to transact any business, at least to allow for the running of the days. That, okay, because we have to satisfy this, Parliament will sit, not transact any other business, apart from ensuring that the CI would mature in good time to enable us to conduct our elections. you know. So that is one of my greatest fear. I think that giving the currency of matters, especially with the CI and the, as I said, some of these bills, the speaker could have agreed with them.
Well, that's a former majority leader, Osei Mensah-Bones. Only last week, at the start of the new meeting of parliament, majority leader Alexander Afenyomaken told the press the House was expecting a constitutional instrument from the EC.
We expect to be around for some 3 weeks or more. But because there are some critical CIs to be brought, we expect the judiciary to bring a CI. I think the CJ signaled that they will bring a CI to regulate election petitions. So we expect that. I think the Electoral Commission have an indication that they would also bring a CI for the purpose of the election. You'll be updated on all of that. And as you may know, per Article 11 of the Constitution, that will require some 21 sitting days. So given the fact that we're supposed to rise in some few weeks, 3-4, if our normal sitting days are to be counted, that means that such a CI will not mature. So adjustments will be made for possible weekend sitting and Monday sitting.
That's the majority leader, Alexander Afenyomaken. We are 44 days away from the election and parliament was on an indefinite suspension. Is the EC actually preparing to lay a new CI and what does it entail? Parliamentary Affairs correspondent Kwikwa Sante joins us in the studio. He's also a member of our political desk, so he's been monitoring this whole event for us. Kwiku, have you been checking? Is there any new CI to start with?
This morning we asked a highly placed source at the EC, someone very high up, and the answer was no. The Electoral Commission has not indicated that it is going to lay any new CI, and in fact it has not discussed any new detail. We know that the Electoral Commission at the start of this new year was pushing a new CI that would have made the Ghana card the sole identity document to register. That was resisted by the NDC, and so the EC dropped the plans. The EC says as of now it does not have any plans. In fact, on the 7th of March 2024, the EC did hold an IPAC meeting and concluded that there will be no CI to be introduced. In fact, this is a story my John Line did at the time. No new CI to be introduced for election 2024 EC, and Madam Jane Mensah was giving the outcome of that IPAC meeting. And so the information we are getting from a very, very, very highly placed source at the Electoral Commission is that between now and December 2024, they are going to use the existing two CIs, that is CI-99 and CI-126, to conduct the election. And no CI will go to Parliament.
Well, that's Parliamentary Affairs correspondent Kwikwa Sante there on what we know when it comes to this particular CI, and the EC is giving an indication that they plan not to lay any particular CI in Parliament. But we stay a while longer in the election headquarters, I should say, and the Executive Director of the Ghana Center for Democratic Development, CDD, Professor H. Kwesi Prempeh, has taken on the Electoral Commission for failing to conduct proper due diligence on the 13 presidential candidates cleared to contest the December 7 election, presidential elections. Well, according to him, some of the individuals have no business on the ballot. Addressing the first anniversary public lecture in honor of the late Anthony Akutu-Apam, Professor Prempeh wondered why such numbers kept recurring on the ballot each election year when the EC was aware that such parties only acted as proxies for either of the two major political parties, the NPP and NDC, for the purpose of influencing decision-making at the Inter-Party Advisory Committee.
I mean, there are 13 or so people on the ballot. I think if the Electoral Commission was more diligent and scrupulous, there would be fewer. One has to wonder why we have the numbers that we keep having on the ballot every election year, when in fact some of the requirements for being a party, separate from independent candidate, clearly you and I know most of these so-called parties on the ballot do not meet it. But there is folklore about why it is that they are on the ballot. And it is basically as proxies for one or the other of these two parties, for the purpose of influencing decision-making at the IPAC, is the theory that I hear. But when you have a duopoly, exit makes sense. Switching makes sense only if there is substantial product differentiation. However, while the rival parties look or do alike alternatives, or where the alternative is scary,
for some, merry for the other, but pretty much the same for the everyday Ghanaian, then we are left with a choiceless democracy.
Professor Prempeh is disappointed none of the leading political parties, as of now, have a plan to address the economic and debt crisis facing the country.
This is happening at a time of exceptional economic angst amongst the population. The country is in the midst of its first ever sovereign debt default, and once again under some form of adult supervision by the IMF, as well as haircuts on domestic investments by Ghanaians holding government bonds. But you wouldn't know any of this if you followed the candidates and song and dance election campaigns across the country. On the campaign trail, you continue to hear promise upon promise of whatever needs to be said to win an election. What you will not hear is discussion of how to break the stranglehold of debt, of Eurobond debt, or the habit of IMF recidivism in which we are caught. No way out of the economic cul-de-sac. After all, when push comes to shove, those we elect to run our public affairs, and for that matter, our economy, will, especially if a general election is on the horizon, simply turn to external managers we have never elected and cannot hold to account to step in again with a bailout and to steer the sinking economic ship back to safe harbor, albeit only temporarily.
That's Executive Director of the Ghana Center for Democratic Development, Professor H. Kwesi Prempeh. Now, NPP MP for Subing, Eugene Boachi entry says President Akufo-Addo acted unreasonably when he refused to sack Ken Ofori-Atta, even when NPP MPs called for his dismissal. It's nearly 2 years now since a group of 90 NPP MPs asked the president to fire his finance minister at the height of the economic crisis. The president did not act on the demand at the time until February this year, when Ken Ofori-Atta was removed as finance minister. Speaking in an interview with Joy News, Eugene Boachi entry says if the president acted early enough, it would have given the economy a chance.
You know, the president, I've told you that he failed to act at the time. A lot of Ghanaians, a lot of well-meaning Ghanaians felt that the president was very unreasonable. That's clear for everyone that he was unreasonable. Because you're a Democrat, you are working people from your own party, not the NDs, who are telling that, look, Mr. President, this is a problem. If the president, I don't know whether it's pride or ego, but if the president had called us and said, look, what is it that you guys have with Ken Ofori-Atta? Would have probably have sat him down and enumerated the kind of deals or initiatives or policies that he had collapsed or undermined as a finance minister. Ghana would have been a different place today. Mm. You understand? But because he failed to do that, he sent a wrong signal. Right? Because you see, politics is Jojo. It's about talking. It's about getting to see what another person is saying, what another person is thinking. If you fail to meet and come to a point of convergence, then you get, you know, everybody moving in other directions. And that, of course, was happening under Ken Ofori-Atta's tenure at the finance ministry. Once he was moved, there's like a breath of fresh air. Yeah. Now, you know, the foreign partners or donor partners are looking favorably at us.
Eugene Boachi-Entry also tells my colleague Kweku Asante that Ken Ofori-Atta treated his cabinet colleagues with contempt and disrespected even NPP MPs when he was at the finance ministry. He also alleges that Ken Ofori-Atta undermined Vice President Bawumia by disregarding his directives.
The Vice President's role as the chair of the economic management team had been reduced to virtually nothing. Mm. Because in the second term, in the 2021 budget, where the finance minister came and told Ghanaians that he was going to rely on two revenue streams. The two revenue streams were, one, the electronic
levy.
Tax levy, yeah. That's popularly known as the e-levy, and then the property rate, right? Clearly, the Vice President has spoken against the imposition of e-levy on the ordinary Ghanaian. So you can see, and we recently, when after the Vice President was elected by the MPP, his speech at UPS, where he said he was going to reverse the e-levy tax. Mm. So clearly you could see that it wasn't part of the decision making. Yeah. And as chair of the EMT and his position as vice chair, as the Vice President, clearly all the key observers within the party and without could see that it had become a one-man show by Ken Ofori-Atta. Mm. And that has led us to where we are, because people say, oh, you guys were touting Baumwe's economic credentials and what have you. Why are we where we are? But the question remains and must be answered, that if you go back to the first term and look at the significant progress that we made, and also the presence of the vice president at the plenary anytime the budget was being read, attests to the fact that he was part of the first term
budget
decision making. But the second term, he's been conspicuously absent, meaning that he has not, they have not involved him, or there were major disagreements, so they decided to cut him off.
That's the Subing MP, Eugene Boachi, entry there, speaking to Parliamentary Affairs correspondent Kweku Asante. Let's do hashtag Stop Galam Say Now and a pediatrician this afternoon with a call for Anochi Teaching Hospital. Dr. Lawrence Osetutu has observed there's a worrying psychosocial impact of illegal mining on mothers, children and families in mining areas. According to him, many illegal miners abandon their homes and families, leaving children to grow without guidance, which sometimes impacts their upbringing. With the absence of a robust welfare system in the country, Dr. Seitu is demanding enforcement of laws on the menace to safeguard the well-being of these vulnerable groups. He spoke on Love FM's morning show.
Part of the rituals that they need to do to pacify the gods when they are mining is to sacrifice a human being.
Babies.
At psychosocial aspect. You know, I've just described a 30-year-old who has died leaving behind a child and a woman. That impact, people don't look at that. But in Ghana, the majority of our health issues start because our girls are poor and they give birth to children who are also malnourished. And the long-term effect is that early in life, by 40, we are already experiencing diabetes and all these problems. Really starts from the way we do not take care of our children.
Meanwhile, a research scientist with the Soil Research Institute, Dr. Albert Kobinamensa, has assured reclaiming degraded lands caused by illegal mining is possible and urged government to begin efforts towards such recoveries.
There are some crops that have been found to be able to sort of either it does absorb the toxic element or it can stabilize it. Example is substitution plant, which is maize. Now, we can plant maize at a polluted site. It's a grass plant. So it is going to take up the toxic element into the root, and it's going to prevent it from getting into the edible part, which is the grain.
Okay.
So we call it substitution planting. Where other plants will fail, that one will do well. So it's a strategy.
So we should make it wholesome to eat.
And that's a research scientist with the Soil Research Institute, Dr. Albert Kobinamensa, speaking on Love Morning Show today. Now, teachers have renewed calls for a total end to Galamsey after being the latest to suffer the impact of the menace. A board member of the Nat Cancer Foundation says more and more of their members, especially in the Ashanti, Central, Eastern and Greater Accra regions, are being diagnosed with various types of cancers. We can hear Christian Yao Adinkra.
Our teachers that are infected with cancer, the reports and the data is suggesting, we realize that Ashanti, Central Region, Eastern Region, and now Greater Accra, these regions where most of the things are happening, with the fact that Galamsey is coming from those areas, it is frightening. The numbers is actually frightening, such that teachers reporting to the center, teachers reporting from those centers or those areas, have the numbers getting increased.
Meanwhile, Professor Kwame Karikari expresses disappointment in political parties' failure to pursue the fight against Galamsey. He also spoke at the maiden lecture in honor of lawyer Kutuampao.
In an election campaign, political parties refuse to address major existential issues such as Galamsey, because they fear to lose votes, or because their leaders and financiers are beneficiaries, we are compelled to ask, who do the parties represent? Votes or the voters? What do political parties stand for? Indeed, what is the meaning of the political ideas the principal actors have been trumpeting? We certainly hope that the anniversary of our comrades' passing will stimulate continuous critical discussion and struggles to strive to promote the strengthening of democracy for the development, social, economic and cultural progress for our country.
And as the calls pile on organized labor to take action, because there's not much being seen when it comes to the fight against illegal mining, especially after the beating of my four coolies on the ground when they went filming the impact of illegal mining. We are told that still three persons have been arrested, but we are getting the latest from that UTAC strike. Kweku, what do we know?
So UTAC is proposing a suspension of its strike. In fact, the National Executive Committee of UTAC have since put out this statement. It says, in light of this, NEC, after thorough deliberations, has directed to suspend the strike action effective Tuesday, 29th October, and is seeking members' affirmation or otherwise of this directive. The National Independent Elections Committee is hereby directed to facilitate this process by close of day Monday. So NEC is recommending that this strike be suspended, but they want to know if members agree. And so the Electoral Commission is going to collate the views of members and end on Monday, 28th October, as whether or not this strike should be suspended or not, MFA.
Thank you very much, Kweku Asante, taking us on a quick break here on the Midday News. Live on Joy, 99.7 FM here in Accra, in Kumasi on Love, 99.5 FM. We are on myjoyonline.com. We are live in all 16 regions on X Spaces on Facebook. The Midday News is supported by Petrol Soul Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. Electoral Commission source tells Joy News it does not plan to lay any new CI before Parliament for the election, contrary to assertions by both the current and former majority leaders. That's what we've been looking at. And of course, all is set for the Joy Sports Invitational. But unfortunately for five-time champions, Prempeh College is the end of the road for you. What's up?
Okay. Given how excited you have to tell us what you're doing on Saturday.
But I've said it. Everybody knows I'm doing 100 meters. I'm going to the 50 meter dash. Competition. Yes. Yes. Oh,
wow.
You're not.
Oh, just laughed at me. No. I'm excited.
I've gone to Kenya and Nairobi, Uganda. I've been training everywhere. You say waiting.
For real.
You
for
let's
real.
Go.
So the draw for the football competition is out. It was conducted today live on the Joy News and Joy Prime channels. Adanse Travels will take on Nationwide Tech in the first game. Minerals Commission will take on Ace Evolutions Consult. Magdan Group versus the Multimedia Group. The Luckiest will take on Ideal Air. ARB Apex Bank are on against Emigo Ghana. Access Pension will face Avianz Ghana. Jetlink versus Safolda. Piwak Multi Choice. Piva Beverages, they will take on Sawa Sanon. Stanbic Bank versus Omnibesic. Kosa Bright and NPA. Aramex will take on NIC. Labadi Beach Hotel versus Republic Bank. Zenith Bank will take on Premier Health. The games will begin on Saturday at 6 a.m. Here's Joy Sports editor Fenty Otari Fenty on how everything will start on Saturday.
Now, the 5 kilometer race where we start at the University of Ghana Stadium, because it's a walk, the earlier the better. We do it in the morning, we start with it. So we start at the stadium, and then the route will go to Ekwafu Hall, that run about 10, and climb up to the Commonwealth Hall, and go around Commonwealth Hall, and then come down to the English department, and then we use the road going to the West Central, to the primary school, then we come down back to the stadium. That will be just 5 kilometers. And that walk in itself would also be one that engages all of us and allows all of us to fraternize and get to know each other. At the end of the walk, we will also have what you call the aerobic session.
So that's how we're going to start the event on Saturday at the University of Ghana Sports Stadium. Make sure you're part of that. For the 5 kilometer health walk, you don't need to be part of the participating teams to contest in that health walk. So you can simply walk in and then be part of that
exercise.
And the
exercise. Walk starts at 6 a.m. All the way through the campus. Then exactly. We come back to the Legon Sports Stadium.
Finish with some aerobics.
Yeah. Charlie, tomorrow, Saturday, I can't wait.
See you on Saturday.
See you, Victor. Now, the Ghana Boundary Commission Bill 2023 and others face the risk of delay or may not be passed soon as uncertainty looms over when Parliament will reconvene. Former Majority Leader Osechi Mensah-Bonsu, in a yet-to-be-aired interview, raised concerns over the matter and said there is a national security threat that Parliament must address. We can listen to the Commissioner General of the Ghana Boundary Commission, Major General Kotia, when he talked about the importance of this particular bill. But of course, let's hear from the former Majority Leader Osechi Mensah-Bonsu on this.
It is an emergency. Yes, what we are relating to now is an emergency. And you see, because of what is happening in the north, the Boundaries Commission's bill must be passed expeditiously. There's stability there.
The Sahel.
We need really to have a determination of our boundaries to enable our forces to really be able to protect us. That bill is there. We haven't done it. So it's important that we attend to it.
Well, let's head to Central Region for the National Science and Maths Quiz.
Audience, I need you to support us. This is a very stressful situation. I really dislike tie breaks, but we have to do it, okay? So I'm asking, okay, this is the question. What is the oxidation state of iron in hemoglobin? Yes, Isaac?
+2.
You are right.
And that's how it ended for Prempeh College, 5-time champions. Oh, Charlie, that funeral has been held and is still being held in the central region.
Yeah. And I hear if you go to the central region, everybody, you know Soloku.
Soloku, Prempeh, what happened?
It came down to the wire, MFA. It came down to the wire. Mfan Sipim School, at the end of the day, had 56 points. Prempeh College had 53 points. Swede Rose Secondary School had 27 points. So you just had that tie.